we started a new, and these are activities beyond what we're doing with Gen 6. I'm involved with Anselm P. Rambla, who some of you may be familiar with. He was in our second film. He was at our conference, spoke at our conference 2017, was attended the conference last year. He was actually there last year as well. Very good friend of mine. And we started a new enterprise called IncaQuest Enterprises. And Steve Quayle is also involved with us, and Gary Haven. And we are looking for the legendary lost cities and treasures of the Inca as part of what we're doing. And so I've been engaged in, for the last year, expeditionary type stuff. We went up into the Andes in June and found some very interesting stuff. Always, obviously, on the lookout for evidence pertaining to giants and all of these other esoteric things. So, we've got a lot of information, and I have a lot of me, Anselm, and I have a lot of experience in Peru, and have been exploring in Peru for a long time. And when we came together, it just sort of it sort of rekindled some of the fire of exploration in Anselm. Anselm's 68 years old, so he kind of caught his second wind for exploration, and so he and I have been doing a lot together. And we're just very interested in the archaeological aspect of things, and further exploring the megaliths and so forth. So there's a lot of there's there, let's just put it in these terms. There are film project oriented expeditions happening in the near future for me in with this new enterprise in Peru. And so I'm actually leaving in a couple of days, taking my whole family to Peru for an extended period of time, during which I hope to complete writing this book. And so when I get back from Peru, I'll come back on your show, Josh. We'll have a lot to talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
And we'll basically just be racing for the finish line to get my book published, get ready for the conference. And but I'm fairly confident that everybody will soon know exactly what I'm talking about. When I say soon, probably closer to the end of this year. But very interesting film-oriented stuff going on.
Man, that's phenomenal. And yeah, Anselm P. Rambla is a phenomenal individual, very knowledgeable, and actually kind of a funny story. The first time I met him, you introduced us. It was in a hotel in one of these conferences that we were doing. And then we almost died because
I remember that.
oh my gosh, that was crazy. So something from and this was a hotel that had a very, very high ceiling. And it was, I don't know if it was a chandelier or a light or, but something fell off of the ceiling and came crashing down inches from where you, me, my kids, Anselm, where we were all standing, came inches away from it, shattered on the ground, totally blew up. We had no idea what had happened. And then we realized, oh, wow, if any of us were standing there, which very well could have happened, that easily would have killed us. So that was my first meeting of this individual. But I mean, a phenomenal person, very, very knowledgeable. If people aren't familiar with him, what is his area of expertise, and how did you kind of get connected with him?
Anselm is just an extremely interesting man. He's got the wildest life story I've ever heard. But he's been an adventurer and explorer ever since he was a young man. Basically, he had an inheritance from his father, took it, bought a sailboat, and just started exploring. And he landed in Peru. Much of his work was in Peru, most of it. And he did some really important archaeological work in Peru. He's not an archaeologist himself. He's an explorer. And I'm an explorer as well. So he and I kind of have the old explorer, young explorer thing going on between us. If people are really interested, they can look at the second installment of the True Legend series, The Unholy Sea, where Anselm features prominently in that documentary. And he's just a fascinating person. His kids also, his sons who are my age, are very adventurous. They're on our team. We have a whole team in Peru right now. And it's very exciting because we're finding things. We're exploring. We're going on expeditions. We're finding things that have the potential to change the historical narrative in Peru.
That is phenomenal. That is phenomenal. Okay, so let's get into some Q&A. Laugh to a beat. I think that's the name. It's a PH thing, so I don't know. Laugh to a beat is saying, Tim, what's your stance on flat/biblical earth? I would not say those both are the same thing. Is that something that you want to talk about, or what are your feelings about that?
Yeah, I'll address it.
Okay, great.
I do not subscribe to flat earth myself at all. I'm quite convinced that the earth is round, that the earth is a sphere. I think that flat earthers Christian flat earthers have misunderstood the theological messaging of Scripture. I think that they have certainly a misconception of what I think is one of the primary fundamental rules when reading the Scripture, and that is that the Scripture, especially as it pertains to astrological questions, especially as it pertains to geological questions and so forth, is in many cases exceedingly esoteric and designed to be esoteric. I probably would be much more in alignment with a guy like Michael Heiser, for example, in that I believe that the narrative of Scripture has a purpose, and the purpose is theological messaging, specifically to deliver the gospel to the human race, to communicate the gospel to the human race. That is what the purpose of Scripture is. That's the primary purpose of Scripture. So there are actually things that can be derived from the text that are laced. There's information laced within the text, especially in prophecy. For example, we know that when in the book of Ezekiel, when there's a prophecy pertaining to the king of Tyre, for example, that we know is not actually addressing the king of Tyre, or at least it's there's a dual understanding to what's being said. It's actually addressing an entity that is behind the king, the king of Tyre, that is in the background, the dragon, the devil. And the prophecy goes on to address this entity, this non-human entity, directly and with some surprising detail. And yet the prophecy begins in a context of addressing the king of Tyre. The same thing happens in Isaiah pertaining to the king of Babylon. These are just a couple of examples that demonstrate that there are layers of information in the scriptural text, and as it pertains to the geography of the earth, I don't think that we are to interpret any of that information literally, because so much of what's being communicated to us in the scriptures is in fact esoteric. It's not straightforward, especially as it pertains to the Old Testament. And also, we have to keep in mind the context in which these things were written, the cultural context in which the Book of Genesis, for example, was written, and it was from the ancient Near East, and their conception of the universe in terms of its geometry, its geography, is to me largely irrelevant. I'm looking for the message. I'm looking for the story. I'm looking for the primary messaging. Now, does that mean that you can't take anything literal in Scripture? Of course you can. I think the Bible is a very accurate book of history. But when you deal with things that are beyond human knowledge, for example, beyond the knowledge of mortal human beings living on planet Earth, such as the nature, the composition of other planets, of the universe itself, that kind of information, that's not the the purpose of the scriptures. That's not the purpose of the Bible, is to communicate to us the shape of the earth or the size of the earth or the nature of the planet Mars or any of that. Are there things in the Bible, is there information laced in the scriptures pertaining to these things? Yes, but it's very esoteric. And it takes wisdom to understand those things. Those things have to be unpacked. A lot of it has to do with math and astrology, as I was saying before, the zodiac and so forth. Biblical prophecy, for example, is exceedingly difficult to make sense of if you try and take it at face value. The nature of prophecy is that it has to be interpreted. Why is it? Ask yourself this. Why is it that when God communicates to the human race in the scriptures via prophecy, why doesn't he just tell us the way things are exactly as they are? Why is everything laced in symbolism? Why is everything concealed, I should say, in symbolism, in metaphor, in analogy? Why, when God refers to kingdoms that are going to rise in the future, why does he refer to them in animalistic terms with bestial imagery? This kingdom's going to be like a leopard. This kingdom's going to be like a dragon and so forth, rather than just identifying these kingdoms, rather than just giving us the information, rather than just telling us, look, there's going to be a kingdom, there's going to be an empire called the Roman Empire, and it's going to do this, this, and this. That's not the nature of prophecy. Prophecy is by nature esoteric, and so is much of the information in the scriptures. You have to also consider the fact that when the Son of God was on earth with men, when he was among us on earth teaching us directly, he didn't bother to tell us about cosmology. He said nothing about cosmology. He never told us the shape of the earth. It wasn't important to the message that he was delivering to the human race. He didn't bother to tell us anything about angels. He didn't bother to tell us anything about the universe. And if you're of the persuasion that the Bible should inform us concerning the macro cosmology, well, why the heck then wouldn't the Bible inform us about the micro cosmology? Right. Why wouldn't the Bible inform us about the quantum level? I mean, my God, surely the Lord knew that in the future the human race was going to split the atom and create the atomic bomb. Isn't that more relevant to the human race than the shape of the earth? And yet the Bible does not communicate to us or warn us against the splitting of the atom and harnessing of nuclear power. And yet this is something that is practically relevant to all of us living in this day and age. And yet we have nothing there. We do not consult with the scriptures if we want to figure out how to install solar panels on our roof. Instead, we have to go to the compendium of human knowledge and understanding as it pertains to technology to figure out how to do that. So the purpose of the Bible is not to communicate those kinds of things to us. Are there hints? Are there clues? Is there information? Yes. But when Christ was here, when the Son of God was walking among men, he was communicating to us who he was and who his Father was and the gospel. And he was this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is how you can relate to the kingdom of heaven, and telling us how we ought to comport ourselves and so forth. So, but you know, this isn't just anybody that's communicating to us in the forms of these parables. This is the Maker himself talking to us. He could have told us everything. He could have told us everything about atomic physics. He could have told us everything about the nature of the universe, the cosmology. If there was a dome, he could have told you there was a dome. By the way, there's a dome, and in the future, they're going to try and trick you, tell you that there's not a dome, and so forth. But that's not the purpose of the scriptures. And to take those things at face value, I think, it's a misreading of scripture. In fact, I will say this, and this will probably be offensive to people, but I think it's a very simplistic understanding of things. And then people like to point to an ill-conceived, by the way. And people like to point to the Book of Enoch. But doesn't the Book of Enoch describe a flat earth? Well, the Book of Enoch says a lot of things that are absolutely ridiculous if you take them literally. Ridiculous. I mean, you might as well believe in the tooth fairy if you believe in some of the literal things. It's not supposed to be taken literal. Listen, all throughout history, the wise have concealed information in mythology. all throughout history, the wise have concocted a story, a mythology, but embedded in that mythology are mathematics, astrological principles, things that I can't even understand, that's really the information that's being conveyed. It's concealed. It's hidden. Listen, the gospel was concealed and hidden from the angels until it was made plain. The nature of the way God communicates, is esoteric. The way God communicates to us, when he communicates to the human race, and he does so especially in prophecy, it is highly esoteric. It's symbolism, it's metaphor, it's analogy, always. Very rarely do we have a direct communication about things, except, of course, in the rare case when the king himself was walking on planet Earth and telling us about himself and his father in the gospel. The nature of the scriptures, the purpose of the scriptures is to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to the human race. That's the purpose. There's a lot of other information that's concealed. It's hidden for the wise, not for the simple, for the wise to uncover. Not saying I'm wise, believe me. As I said before, a lot of that information is mathematical and astrological, and I'm severely retarded when it comes to that kind of stuff. So my point is, think about what Solomon said, that it's the glory of God to do what? To conceal a thing.
That's right.
To conceal a thing.
Yep.
And it's the glory of kings to search it out.
That's right.
Search it out. In other words, it's not plain. It's hidden. It's concealed. It's esoteric. It's layered. You think you know what it means, but you only have the very top inch on the surface, and this thing goes down a mile. And that's the nature of knowledge and of information and of communication from intelligences that are vastly superior to our own. And so it is a mistake to take things at face value. I wouldn't take the descriptions in the Book of Enoch concerning the shape of the earth any more literal than I would take Jesus saying he's a door.
Right.
I know what Jesus means when he says he's a door. I get it. I understand that. I don't picture him as a door. I understand what he means. And so if we have if the Book of Enoch or the Book of Genesis is communicating information to us that's relevant to cosmology, then first of all, I need to understand what the theological messaging to me is. What is being told to me? And we can get a basic understanding of that just by reading the story. But if you want a deeper understanding, you have to go under the text. You have to go into it. It's esoteric. The knowledge is concealed. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. And if you think that God is going to just come out and tell you exactly the way the universe looks, he didn't do it. It's not there. And if he wanted to, he could have. And that's the point. He could have, and he could have reinforced it. If it was important information, he would have reinforced it. Now, does that mean that, again, let me just say this, and so I don't get too repetitive here, but does that mean that the Bible does not contain information relevant to quantum physics? Does it contain information relevant to our current conceptualization of the universe? Now that we have telescopes and all this, does it pertain information that is relevant to our current understanding of physics and that verifies? Sure. Yes. But it's not the primary purpose. That's not what's being communicated to us. And so, and here's the thing, a lot of people who believe in flat earth, and look, if you believe in flat earth, fine. I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm not going to throw stones at you. Fine. That's perfectly fine. But man, do not stake the gospel on the shape of the earth. And I have heard people making these claims that infuriate me. If the earth is not flat, the Bible is not true.
Right.
I think that statement is exceedingly misguided, dangerous, and foolish. And people need to be real careful. We have to understand what the gospel is really saying to us, what we are as human beings. It's not about us, and it's not about the earth. It's about Christ. Let him be central. These other things are inconsequential and in some cases irrelevant. And I have, listen, the heavens declare the glory of God. Whether there's a dome or whether there's billions of stars, the heavens declare the glory of God. of God. So concealing the dome does not stop the heavens from declaring the glory of God. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Dome or no dome, the heavens declare the glory of God. So whether so this idea that there's a conspiracy to conceal the fact that there's a dome over the earth and the earth's flat so that people wouldn't believe in God is hogwash. Because we're told in the New Testament that nature, I believe Paul tells us that no man is without excuse. Or in other words, nobody has an excuse to deny the gospel. Why? Because nature itself is communicating to us, is verifying to us on some level, declaring that God exists and who he is on some level. So dome or no dome, it makes no difference. Created order is declaring the glory of God. So the conspiracy isn't to cover up that there's a dome so that we don't believe in God. Okay, that's not it. Billions of stars or a dome, it makes no difference. The heavens are declaring the glory of God and will do so for eternity. And so I think people need, to be honest with you, Josh, I think people need to grow up.
Yep.
And need to get out of this infantile way of thinking and understand that, look, we have an understanding. Our understanding, our ability to comprehend things is, as I said, it's we have a perceptual impairment. And just because people can throw up videos on YouTube and boom, 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 and run through a dozen different proofs of something, if it's that easy, if centuries of science can be overturned by three YouTube videos, then it's probably not true.
Right.
So, I have no desire to scold the flat earth community insofar as they believe that the earth is flat, but I will scold them those of them who are operating with a very arrogant attitude, because there are lots of people who flat earth is now their religion. It is their creed. It is their doctrine. If the earth is not flat, the Bible is not true. That, my friends, is the height of foolishness.